It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we have our final four teams in the NFL. The conference championships will be played here, heard here on WGCL this coming Sunday with the Broncos hosting the New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Again, we'll have that all for you here on Sunday. So plenty to talk about in the NFL. But before we get quite there, some other things on the gridiron in particular, Indiana University and Kevin Wilson fresh off a four-year extension. So six years into the future now is Kevin Wilson's contract. He has a new defensive coordinator. Tom Allen has been hired from the University of South Florida. Brian Noor is leaving the program, and this all kind of happened on the fly and out of the blue. So some interesting stuff there. We'll try to get to that before the show is over. But first, the Hoosier basketball team headed up to Minneapolis. Williams Arena, the barn in Minneapolis, has not been kind to the Hoosiers over the years, some years worse than others. And it was not particularly kind to the Hoosiers early in the game as they got down quite a bit very early in the game. Did not bring the same kind of intensity as they did against Ohio State the week before. But at the end of the game, it was 70-63. And despite some disappearing acts, once again, at least for part of the game, by some of their better players, their best player, Yogi Ferrell, made the plays he needed to make, and they got some big help out of Nick Zeisloft breaking out of his slump, and Max Bielfeld also with a nice game. And Glass, look, there's nothing pretty to talk about with this game for the performance-wise for the Hoosiers. You can't look at it and say that it tells you a whole heck of a lot from the standpoint of a lot of good things that came out of it, except for maybe the one thing, and I think this is maybe key the rest of the year, I don't know. You got a senior point guard, and the senior point guard seems to keep making the plays down the stretch when you need him to make the plays, and that's why you want a senior point guard.
That is, and going into this game, we talked about it last Wednesday. Hey, what do you want to see out of this game? Do you want 40 more minutes like you saw against Ohio State? Of course you did. But my angle was, let's see it in the first TV timeout. That's the next focus for this team. Let's play the next 4 minutes and see what they are, have they, what they've learned, what they've put together. And Dave, at that first TV timeout, it was Minnesota 8 and Indiana 2. So again, some of these wounds were self-inflicted. Some of them were, again, just Indiana doing some things that when it works, it looks really good. And when it doesn't, well, you let teams like Minnesota hang around. You let teams like Minnesota build a 29-20 lead. You let teams like Minnesota be tied with you at halftime. Sure, the comeback was great. Minnesota's lost 9-10 in six in a row.
They're not very good.
You should be
very, very young.
You should be handling them. Minnesota was giving up 60% or better to their opponents in the paint or inside the three-point line in their first four or five games, whatever it was, before they played Indiana on Saturday. But Indiana still was doing what, Dave? They were settling for shots, maybe one more pass could have got you a better one, but that was it. The game just it got off to a tough start, and it took a while for them to get back in gear. But you knew as that game rolled on that Minnesota would have to do some really, really non-Minnesota-type things to steal it, win it in the end. They tried, but again, they missed way too many free throws. The free throw discrepancy was huge. Mm-hmm. You know what that tells me? Yeah, Indiana had some shots blocked at the rim, but it also says you're settling for jump shots. Tom Crean bangs on this all the time. Get the ball going through the paint because good things happen. And when you decide you're going to knock it around the perimeter, and if you can't break Minnesota down on the dribble, I mean, the problem is we went through the scores on Wednesday last week about the scores that people had put up against Minnesota.
Right,
whether
exactly.
It was home or on the road. Yep. And Indiana, the best offensive team, had their worst shooting night.
Struggled big time. And part of that was certainly, as you mentioned, getting to the free throw line for Minnesota involved Indiana fouling. And that got some guys in trouble, got them out of their rhythm real early. I mean, very early in the game, Colin Hartman was out quickly. Troy Williams had one very early and sat very early and, quite frankly, wasn't in the game.
No,
That took out a lot of the rhythm, too, and gave Minnesota some easy shots.
It did, and Minnesota's tails got in the air when they saw Troy Williams go to the bench, and Tom Crean wasn't going to sit there and wait for five more minutes of it, and
that's
good
right.
for Tom.
Yeah,
because
right.
what Troy did is he came out, he made a silly foul, he made a terrible move, off-balance shot, the exact opposite of what he did to start the Ohio State game.
Yep.
And that was the frustrating part to see it because he was so good against Ohio State. Boom, he gets the charge. Boom, he goes right to the hole. That's the first two plays of the game. Mm-hmm. Boom, he's engaged.
Yep.
And then this game, the exact
opposite.
Total opposite.
Yep.
He looked like he was a half step slow. He looked like he was trying to do what he did against Ohio State, but it wasn't in the parameter of the game. Remember the first layup he had against Ohio State? Straight line, nobody in his way.
Called play. Yep.
And it worked, and it got him going, but then you get a cheapie here 25 seconds into the game, and then you're down the other end, and it's not the best quality shot, and it's a step back three, and it's this, and it's that. And Tom Williams is my buddy. And Tom Green pulls Troy Williams. Yep. And again, he has to do that because that can't continue for this team to be better.
Yeah.
Troy has to understand how valuable he is, how valuable his defensive energy is, how valuable he is on the glass, how valuable he is on offense as a player that breaks down defenses, and he just can't come and go as you please. And as the game wore on, Troy got back into the game with what? What was the one thing that got him back in the game? Blocking shots.
Yeah, well.
He did something to contribute that didn't involve offense.
A pair of blocks, eight rebounds at the end of the day, two turnovers. And they were you know, look, you don't want Troy to turn it over, but you can live with a couple. You can live and have to live with a couple. But what you've had problems with is 4, 5, and 6, and he didn't get there either. So is this a growing situation for Troy? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it is or isn't. I was glad that eventually you saw him get himself back in the end because we have had problems getting him back engaged in some games when he's struggling. Early.
The one thing I take away from it is what got him involved in the game was his defense.
Yeah, and
he came off
the
ball to make plays. He didn't stand around and wait for something to happen.
Right.
He did it. He went after it. And he didn't have to force anything. He played good help defense. He came over and blocked a couple shots. He got on the glass and got rebounds. Dave, those are effort plays.
Yep.
You don't have to be jump higher, run faster, 6'12". Or you don't have to be into that.
Again,
you just have to want it and go get it.
With his athleticism, that is a differentiator for Troy. Can he score too? Sure, he can. But the differentiator is still his athleticism. On the glass, on the defensive end potentially, all of that is where he makes the biggest difference compared to the other team. So you've got to at least get some of that. And if you only get 7 points out of him, at least get some of that.
The good news was he found a way back into the game. The better news for me, he found himself back into the game with effort plays, not getting run out dunks when you're up 15 points.
Right, exactly.
Not
meaningless stuff.
He got a great tip dunk. Why? Because he crashed the glass and saw an opportunity. Those are the plays when he makes, he's impossible to guard. How do you stop Troy Williams from blocking shots?
You don't.
Well, you go the opposite way from him.
Take out his legs.
Well, you go, you run plays away from him
right.
if you don't want to do that. But what Troy hasn't done consistently enough is people will run plays at him with the ball because he hasn't got into that zone defensively yet. He hasn't got into that mindset for 30 minutes a game, not 12. Not right. six, not between a couple timeouts, but at least he broke out, not with cheap dunks, not with trash up 30 points. He helped Indiana switch the momentum in that game on the defensive end, and every time Minnesota took the ball to the glass, they had to be aware of him, they had to be aware of Bryant, and Troy got 7 rebounds. So that was the good news for me. The great news for me is Yogi Ferrell did Yogi Ferrell things for the second close game in a row. You saw it against Wisconsin. He hit a jumper and went 6-for-6 from the line to seal that game against the Badgers, and in this game, he knocks down his free throws down the stretch. Robert Johnson had a pair as well. Again, that's what you need from a guy, that guy, in those kinds of games because there is no James Blackman to stretch that defense. Nick Zeisloff, again, finally broke out of his slump. He is the streakiest of streak shooters. He's hitting fadeaway threes in the corner.
Oh, my God.
After
that fourth one is amazing.
Yeah, but it was.
Fading out of bounds.
It was. But after that, he only hit one more, which was fine. But
hey, it was a jolt this team needed.
He was quieted down, right.
It was a jolt this team needed at that moment. And let's be fair, he was the one thing that didn't go right against Ohio State when everything else seemed to.
At 29-20, Indiana's 16 of their 20 points were 12 from Zeisloff, including 2 threes and 2 possessions, and 4 from Bielefeld. That was 16 of their 20 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get knocked out. You didn't think they would get knocked out because Minnesota flat out doesn't have the punchers to do it. They missed too many foul shots. They missed too many gimmies around the basket. And what did Indiana do? They survived. And when you look back at the end of the year, if it comes down to the last week and they're playing for a Big Ten championship, no one's going to care what the...
How close it was in Minnesota.
No, not at all. They're not going to remember that they hung on to beat Wisconsin.
Nope.
They're not going to remember that Rutgers gave them a game for a while. Hey, it's a step in the right direction. And 5-0, there are no alternatives you can argue that would be better at this point for the Hoosiers.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We sum it up and then look forward to tomorrow night's game against Illinois at Assembly Hall when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers win 70-63 up at Minnesota to go 5-0 in the Big Ten. It was not pretty, but it is 5-0, and that is the key. All you can do is play the teams that you have on your schedule.
Amen.
The Hoosiers have taken care of business. It has not been pretty. And there's two ways to kind of look at it, I think, at this point in time, and both of them have legitimacy to them. And there's still a huge question mark.
Yeah, as long as you're fair.
As to where it goes from here. The first one is they haven't looked pretty. And some of their best players, not named Yogi Ferrell, have disappeared in some of these games, especially on the road. That's the bad part. And you got to ask the question, is that going to continue? Because it's like 3-4 deep. I mean, it's Bryant, it's Williams, it's Johnson,
Hartman.
It's Hartman.
Yeah,
these guys are all having huge, and Zeisloft until this last game. It's a huge question mark as to whether that's going to stop happening. Again, you don't win a Big Ten championship if your best players are not performing or are disappearing. Is this the sign that Troy got himself back involved, like you mentioned, and that'll be something going forward? There's no way to tell right now. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. I mean, we can only see.
It's a lot easier to deal with this when you're winning.
Well, absolutely.
And that's the good news. And what they've learned from this is, and what I've learned from this is, we talk about being a good team that turns into a great team. Well, great teams find ways to win. And to be fair, they have done exactly that.
That is the other key, because without those guys performing, they have managed to win three of these games on the road in situations where things aren't firing. They found ways. And that's there's a lot to be said for that.
And good teams will bemoan the fact that they aren't getting everybody firing on all nights.
Right.
Great teams know that's going to happen. You hope that ham and eggs is spread out throughout the season. What good is it to have eight guys firing on a night where you win 90-50, and then you go on the road somewhere and have two of those guys fire and you get upset? Now, no one tries to go out and play poorly. Let's be fair. That's not how this works out.
Right.
All these games are different. But what I think you've seen in college basketball this year, or maybe you haven't, and I think that might be more accurate, there are no hyper-elite teams where you look at and you say, well, geez,
no,
on their
really
given
aren't.
Day, how can you possibly play
Michigan
with
State
them?
State looked that way until the last two
they
weeks.
They did. Maryland has had some interesting victories and losses as well.
Iowa certainly looks that way all of a sudden.
Iowa, but I saw Iowa blow a 16-point lead at Iowa State. Now, that's on the road at a top-five program at that time. But when Indiana is mostly good, they can hang. And people will point out, well, look at the Duke game. And that's a great example because that was a big-time program, a big-time road game, and how many guys didn't show up that night? Way more than it did.
Yeah.
So that has learned Indiana. If you're playing the scoreboard, which I still think is a little bit of a problem with this team, you're playing the scoreboard too much. You got to play. You got to be jacked up. You got to forget about who you're playing. Again, this is an Indiana thing. That's
they play to who they see on the tape. I mean, that's becoming pretty clear.
And that's a tough thing because to jump to that next level, to me, to be a great team, those are games you have to go out and know. Look, dude, that game was at 11:30 in Minnesota. There was 4,000 people there. That wasn't some raucous 8 o'clock.
And they tried to take care of that by being there two nights early. I mean, they were there on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and they get off to a terrible start. One thing that bugs you a little bit about it is they just get comfortable taking shots sometimes. You think, well, we make these all the time. Let's go ahead and keep shooting them. And when you shoot 8 of 25 from 3 and only 41% and only go to the line 12 times and win – I don't want to say there's pixie dust on this because I think a lot of the reason they won the game is because they're better and they found a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't the recipe to get to that next level.
Right.
And the next level is for these guys, it has to be three of them a night and it has to be two of the same three every night.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Williams and Farrell. And the third one has to be Johnson or Bryant and somebody else.
Right.
That rotates through that. But you can't have nights all the time against good teams where Troy Williams has nights off.
Right.
It hasn't been once. It hasn't been twice.
It's been all three
of the road games.
And Wisconsin wasn't very good either.
And that's very important because in five games, he's had four.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the good news, glass half full, no offense.
Yeah.
They've found a way. There hasn't been that lesson that has been taught. There hasn't been that yet because other guys have found a way to contribute, whether it's Ben Bielefeld. OG's had a great stretch off the bench. What's happened to him now?
Well, we were talking about freshmen for a couple games
there,
and now we're back to talking about a couple seniors who deserve the credit, not just Yogi Ferrell, but Max and Nick Zeisloft.
Exactly,
and Nick hasn't really contributed that much in this stretch, but all of a sudden—
25 points.
Yeah, I mean, a big spark yesterday or on Saturday, rather. So,
look,
the question is are they gaining toughness and that they take forward, or are they simply out-toughing the bad teams on their schedule? Again, it's a legitimate question.
D, all the above, because what they didn't gain earlier in the year playing Alcorn State, what they didn't learn in the, earlier in the year beating these teams by 45 points, was getting in dogfights on the road and playing tough. Maybe they learned something at Maui. Maybe they learned something at Duke. Every loss tells you something. Every coach says that. You always learn more from losing a game than you do from winning a game. But I don't buy that with this Indiana team, because besides Maui, it was blowout or close game. There was nothing in between, and they didn't win any close games in Maui. They beat St. John's by 10.
There is a question that's around here, and I think there's a very
easy... If they were
easy,
2-3, I think you'd have a different answer.
A very easy, logical answer to this question, but I think it bears asking anyways, is this team better without James Blackmon? The answer is you don't lose a guy that does that much for you on the offensive end and be a better overall team.
No.
But this team is playing better, grittier on the defensive end and on the offensive rebounding than it was when he was in there. Is it a coincidence that he happened to go out at the time this clicked? Or is it because they're making up for him? I think too many people are making it, well, James is out, so they're a better team. There's no possible way that's the case.
When they lose their first game by 8 or 9 points, and you wonder
when they score 62 points.
And that's what happens. Yeah. The best offensive team in the Big Ten, one of the best offensive teams in the country, had 70 points against one of the worst teams in the country defensively. Yeah. Those are the facts. I always like to have one more offensive guy, because the worst thing that can happen to him, he has a bad night defensively and hits 7 threes.
Look, there are too many people, I think, that have made it that. To me, I think it's a timing issue. People always go with timing and they say, hey, look, he goes out and all of a sudden things get better. I think there's probably two things. One of them is they had to dedicate themselves on the defensive end. That was just a matter of needing to. And I think there's not enough credit given to the fact that a team that loses such an important and good player in James Blackmon, when that happens, they sense their own mortality to a degree, and they have to make up for it and find a way to do it. And if that was, hey, we got to pick it up on the defensive end, then that's part of it.
That
so it's not that
why would you
that he goes out and they're better
like
because
James Blackmon.
Of it.
You can't replace 47% shooting. Look at it this way. The only player on Indiana's team they couldn't afford to lose this season was who?
Yogi.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Michigan State lost Denzel Valentine.
Yeah.
And looked very good, didn't they?
No, they struggled.
6'7", everything guy.
Yeah.
Senior.
Yep.
You don't want to lose guys like that. Tum-Tum Naren's going to be out here maybe one day, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. Guess who's their point guard? Denzel Valentine. That's why you can't lose him. That's why you can get by with James Blackmon Jr. But, yeah, you'd love to have an extra 17
Absolutely.
Points
sure.
rolling out of bed. That's the key.
Well,
James Blackmon Jr., this wasn't some newfound territory.
No.
This wasn't Maurice Creek after half of a freshman year when he got 31. This is a proven scorer that
absolutely.
Has done it for a year and a half. Yes, you'd love to have those points is the short answer.
333-2665 is a phone number.
Bob,
let's bring in Bob.
How are you?
What's up, guys? And happy MLK. I can't even say it. MLK Day.
That's exactly right. 5-0
yes,
on Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right. That's right. Nothing bad, and I don't ask this in a bad way because I love Coach Green. I've met him several times. He's contracted till when? Do you guys know? The 2020?
I believe
yeah,
it's
I
2020.
That's right. 2020 or 2020. Him and Wilson are almost on the same schedule now. So whatever Wilson's at,
yeah.
I think they're right.
Wilson got extended too. I knew that.
Yeah, he's through 21. So, Tom Crean has.
I believe it's 2020
on there. Which none of the contracts. Here's the deal. Don't tell anybody this, Bob. We know no one's listening, so it's no big deal. Contracts don't mean anything except for recruiting. That's it. If a guy has a really good year, he's going to get a monster extension. If a guy has a bad year, he's not going to get one more year to figure it out. That's just how it is. So don't worry about that. It's the old axiom: winning takes care of everything.
I knew people were kind of concerned about what's going on with them, but we're winning. That's
yes,
win to win. So that's a good thing.
And I think this,
that's one question.
Good.
Go ahead.
Go. We're waiting for you.
Okay, so that was just one thought, but I'm just glad because Tom's a good guy, and I'm all about it. And then secondly, is I wasn't there, but I did get to see the even though TV didn't show it, the 76 reunion of the team that came.
You can see that. You can see the reunion.
I know you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell everybody else. You go to IUHoosiers.com and just go to the basketball thing, and there's a 9-minute video there of the halftime presentation. So if you didn't have a chance to see it, and it's not going anywhere, that's the great news, because Indiana they archive everything, and they're in the process of archiving a lot more stuff that we heard. Chuck Crabb told us that on Friday. So just stay tuned and go there, and you can take a look at it. Yes, from a television standpoint, standpoint, you would have loved to have seen it that night, but ESPN doesn't work that way, and any of us that think they would be different is
unfortunately.
That's not going to work.
But my sadness was, and maybe you don't, you might know, why didn't Coach Knight come? Do you know?
He yes.
doesn't feel welcome. He'll,
because
he
Coach Knight...
Welcome, does he?
No, Coach Knight does what Coach Knight wants to
Coach
do.
Knight got fired by the university. And as much as everybody wants to make up his mind for him and think for him and make him get over it,
which has never happened.
Everybody's got their own reactions to these sorts of things. And I'd love to see him come back. It'd be great for everybody around here. I'm not sure it'd be great for Bob Knight, but it'd be great for everybody around here because they'd feel good about the closure and all. But to be fair,
I think
you're allowed to be as bitter about that sort of thing as you want to be. I mean, my dad got fired from the University of Illinois. I wasn't even the coach. I was 9 years old. I still hate the University of Illinois more than anything in the world. Can't stand them, and it wasn't me.
Well,
had nothing to do with me.
Bob, everybody loves.
You're allowed to have that grudge, and we can't tell him how he's supposed to feel about
everybody,
it as much as we'd like to.
Everybody loves and wants a happy ending, and who knows? Just because. And remember, you got to remember one thing, Bob. Again, no one's listening, so I'm going to give you some inside information here. Bob is only going to do it on Bob's terms.
Absolutely.
Not when you expect it.
Absolutely.
Not when he was too busy releasing his thing about doing the fish fry with Gene Cady on February 6th at the State Fairgrounds.
Yeah.
That was more important to Bob right now because somebody asked me the other day, wow, I didn't know his middle finger extended that far. Well, it obviously does because that's how Bob does it. So it wouldn't surprise you one bit if, like the wrestling shows, where he kicks open the back door, walks in at halftime, grabs a microphone from Chuck Crabb and addresses the crowd, waves, and gets in his chariot and leaves. It wouldn't surprise me one bit because Bob has done everything in life for one person and one person only, and that's Bob.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tigers and Stripes.
Well, the crowd goes nuts when they show him. I know that. So,
the people that are left here are the people that want to see Bob.
Yeah.
And Bob is mad at the intangibles at Indiana University because the Board of Trustees isn't there, the people that Miles Brand is dead, Fred Eichhorn's dead. You can go through all this stuff.
And Bob, we got to let you
good
go.
Job,
we appreciate the
Bob
call.
Bob always has good things for us.
You are allowed to be bitter about these sorts of
that
things.
That is part of life.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Mike Shanahan carried a hatred for Al Davis and the Raiders forever and still does.
And then he went back and coached for him,
Not later. Not after the fact. You're allowed to have that.
Yes.
Is it rational? Absolutely it's rational. We'd all like it to not be that
way.
We all know he'd come back here and be absolutely adored and feel all the adulation of all the fans. We all know that. And he may know that at the end of the day, but he doesn't want to give Indiana the satisfaction.
And he doesn't
want
to give knuckleheads like you and me to say, see, we told you he'd come back then. It was so obvious. Hey, it doesn't work that way.
We're all allowed.
He's worried and concerned about that still at 75.
Sure.
And he's allowed to be. That's the other funny part about it. So, yes, we'd love a happy fairy tale ending, but life ain't about that sometimes.
Eventually, we all just have to accept it. Probably won't happen.
Yeah.
And that's on us. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll talk a little bit about Illinois and then move on to the gridiron when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass and News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers bring in Illinois tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Illinois struggling early in the Big Ten season.
Two
players that can score, but they're not a very good team in Big Ten games only. They have the 4th and 8th. Leading scorers.
Yes.
Kendrick Nunn averaging 18.5 a game. Malcolm Hill averaging 16.5 a game. Yogi Ferrell is the leader in Big Ten games only at just shy of 20 points a game.
Yeah, Illinois got injury problems. They've lost center. They've lost point guard. Tracy Abrams got hurt. We heard that back in the workout. They have three
kid
potential
from Cathedral, I think, is just back.
Yeah. Jalen Coleman lands. He's getting almost 10 a game.
Their one win is Purdue.
Purdue at home.
And blasted them 84-70.
Exactly right. And you know what they did that night? I'm guessing made a lot of baskets, because if Illinois doesn't score, they're easy to beat. One thing that bothered you about the Minnesota game, when Joey King came in off the bench, he was the only guy on Minnesota could shoot, and I think the Hoosiers got a little, I don't want to say lucky with him, but they let him hit 4 out of 5 threes. The guy shoots 98% from the free throw line, goes 4-7 from the line that day. I mean, there was There were things that Minnesota was good in Minnesota, but you have to be aware of that guy coming off the bench because he's 6'9". He's not a little guy that just hides around and gets lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. When he comes in, you know he's shooting 45% from three, and he got too many good looks. He got too many open looks, and he hit 4 out of 5 of them on. So again, Indiana dodges a little bullets there. They've got a different problem with the Fighting Illini because these two kids can score for him. 18, and what's the other kid getting?
Hill's 16 getting
18. And a half. Well, there you go. And when you can put that ball in the basket, you know what happens? You get stuff that you don't have to run offense for, Dave. That's one-on-one. That's, hey, I'll square you up. It's late in the shot clock. Give me the ball. Indiana's going to have to do a good job of recognizing those guys in transition. They're going to have to do a good job of recognizing them in the half court. And they didn't do a very good job of that with Joey King. And these guys are better basketball players than Joey King. No offense to Mr. King. He led us. How many points do you have? 16, 18, 14? He got Indiana for 18.
18 points.
And if you're going to let Hill and you're going to let Nunn get you for 18 apiece, you might have a little problems on your hands. That's right. So the next step for them, who's a better basketball team? It's not even close right now. Right. Indiana has better depth. They have better players. They have better experience. These two kids are juniors. Do they even have a senior on this team? They don't. So don't have anybody tell you about how young and problems are. They got guys that are hurt that can't play. They got some freshmen, the 6'11 kid. He's a graduate transfer. All right, great. That's going to give Thomas Bryant some issues, probably. Mm-hmm. A little smarter, knows how to get in there, bug him a little bit. That's going to be him and Woodbury will probably provide a little bit of that.
Exactly right.
I don't want to say they're dirty, but they just know how to get under. And that's the one thing kind of is disappointing about Bryant lately, and maybe not lately, but you get under skin pretty quick.
Well,
his emotion is a good thing. I'd rather have a kid you have to put out the fire than try to light up like Roy Hibbert.
Well, here's the thing.
But he gets too worried about the officiating way too much.
He did, and he blasted people in the big video out in Maui of him screaming at Yogi Ferrell and getting in his face, and Yogi just calmly just kind of saying, hey, stop, and walking away. And everybody thought, oh, this is a fiery kid, and Yogi's doing something wrong. The kid had to deal with those emotions, and it happened a couple more times. He has backed off of those a little bit, at least outwardly.
Not on Saturday.
Well, he showed frustration. But it seems to me like he's trying to figure out how to get it back into the performance without having the blow up because that's hard to do. I mean, we've seen this so many different ways. It's hard to control that just the same as anybody else. He hasn't figured out how to channel that entirely into play yet.
But
as we said, on the road in the Big Ten, he's going to be extremely frustrated if he thinks he's going to get every call.
You're a freshman, bro. You're not getting any calls.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but when the announcers on the game point out the bench is telling him to chill out, Thomas.
Exactly.
Those are things that aren't going to help your teammates. And when you're worried about what the official is going to call, you're not playing basketball. Mm-hmm. You have to react to what the officials are calling, but you can't be, hey, he held me, that's why I missed. Just play.
Right.
Run down to the other end, block a shot, get mad there, and then start it.
Take it out of somebody.
The good news is he has that energy. You're right. How does he channel it? Well, that's going to be important because you've seen some times with Thomas Bryant on the bench that hasn't helped Indiana greatly in some of their endeavors.
They set him the last 7 minutes of the game yesterday, I believe?
Yeah, 6.5. They did because, well, maybe he was a little too fired up.
Because who knows? Yeah,
you don't want to have Minnesota causing that. So he's going to have a big, experienced guy, 270 pounds, and he's going to see Ola on Saturday. We'll talk more about that on Wednesday. But that's, again, Ola's been in the league 15 years. He's on the Pat Graham plan. He showed up at Northwestern in 1997, and he's been there ever since.
Yep.
He knows how to play. He knows how to – he's always either in foul trouble or out of foul trouble. His third one because he's been there for so long. But he was back in Northwestern's loss on Saturday at home to Penn State. But what Indiana at home, again – I would expect a much better start. I don't think that's a question. You saw against Ohio State. Ohio State and Illinois resemble themselves more than I would throw in Minnesota. Minnesota's just not good enough to be in that conversation, yet they led 8-2 on a sleepy morning in Minneapolis. Now you're going to have a very cool Tuesday night, ESPN, 7 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to be fired up.
Everybody loves to hate the Illinois.
You're on top of the league at
5-0,
and that's the easy way to get fired up and get after it. So Indiana's got two more, this one and one more this week before things get a little bit tougher for them. But tomorrow night, Dave, it's going to be a case of the Assembly Hall. If Indiana plays normal basketball, shoots their normal percentages, gets to the foul line, makes the extra pass. It shouldn't be close because Indiana, on their day, when they are firing on most cylinders, we haven't even seen all cylinders. When they fire on, well, Ohio State was close.
Yeah.
They fire on most cylinders. There's not a lot of teams that can slow them down because they don't have enough basketball talent to keep up with them.
Look, the bottom line is you can't keep having guys disappear. But if there's an atmosphere that they're not going to disappear in and you feel good about saying that, it's probably at home in a big game against a team that everybody hates around here. So you know the atmosphere is going to be good.
9-9,
you're coming
1-4.
Off a road trip that always stinks. I'm sorry, that Minnesota trip always sucks. So coming back and having that night game on ESPN, to me, it makes a much bigger difference. And at the end of the day, they're a better team than Illinois. What I like about it again, and we'll see how this plays, what I like about it again is they've had to tough it out and play well down stretches, and they have. That's not something we thought would happen when they were losing in Maui and Duke. They're finding a way to do that. Is it against bad teams? Yes, it is. I mean, I get that. It's not Michigan State and Iowa. I get that. But all you can do is play Illinois tomorrow night and get that done.
Yep.
Moving on real quickly before our break, Indiana football announced a new defensive coordinator. I didn't know we had an opening. That was my comment when I first heard this. But Tom Allen is your new defensive coordinator. Brian Knorr is no longer with the program. Tom Allen spent many years at Ben Davis as both the defensive coordinator and several as a head coach before moving through several levels of college football. Spent a couple years as a linebacker coach at Mississippi and was defensive coordinator last year with South Florida. Look, I've said this over and over and over, and you've heard me say this. We turn a lot of good coaches into bad coaches by thinking they're going to make all the difference just because they're a new coach. Be smart. This defense all of a sudden is returning next to nobody on its defensive front. The entire defensive line almost is gone, including the best playmakers up there, Darius Latham, Darius Rainer, Mike Mangieri, and Shaw. Those are the guys that played the best for your defensive line all year long, and it wasn't even close.
Nice core linebackers.
You lose them all. You got linebackers behind them, but to me, you've got to have a defensive line, and you've got a bunch of guys. That, I mean, you have one kid, McCray, that I liked, who showed you a couple flashes, but to give this guy some time too, he's not going to be the end all be all right off the bat.
The one thing you like is his ties to Indianapolis. I think that's nice. A no-brainer because he can walk right into that landscape and have just he's got street cred when he walks in because Ben Davis, football powerhouse.
Sure.
He's been in the city. He knows what's going on in the city. At least he has some connections to that. Buddy of mine today says he has one of his brother-in-law's buddies with his family. Mm-hmm. And he says the guy's going to run through 10 brick walls. That's the good news.
Oh, he sounds like he's a hard worker. I mean, there's no question about this. I don't see anything as a bad hire here necessarily. No. I just don't want everybody to make it
that's the problem.
The coming
fixed.
Of a defensive genius that's going to solve everything tomorrow.
We've seen the defensive secondary separated, together separated. Exactly. They've tried.
It's about the talent, and it's about matching the talent with some experience, and they still don't even have that going into next year. I will say this. I'd like to hear how this all went down with Brian Knorr. You know me, I'd like to see the coaches treated well. I don't know that he wasn't. But it's odd timing right after the convention to have this very quiet thing. Rumors get out there all over the place. So people at the Football Scoop and all these things online have this stuff all over the place. They have sources everywhere. People are telling them everything under the sun.
Now with football.
And nobody heard this.
Nope.
Nobody. So what happened there? Again, I'd like to think that that you don't screw one guy to bring in another guy. But
you're never going to hear the true story, so just I wouldn't worry about it. I would just I think
none of that affects Tom Allen. I mean, it's not like he asked for all that.
The positive angle from this is you're bringing in an Indiana guy that's got Indiana ties, and if you can't start in your own backyard, it doesn't really matter where you're bringing in guys from, unless it's, I don't know, give me a great defensive coordinator of all time. Vic Fangio's coming in, Well, that's the leap you make. You're in two boats.
Right.
You got the boat that's where you can paddle it, and then you got the one with the real big fancy motor.
Yeah, right.
And we're not there yet.
Fangio. It's not Will Muschamp.
Yeah, exactly. and so that's not coming this way. So Indiana has to get creative. And the other thing you have to like about it and how it goes down, you're right. It's a business. It stinks sometimes. But you can't sit back and hope it's going to change.
Well,
the numbers that were shown side by side, there wasn't an improvement.
I said all last year, numbers were no better than 2 years ago.
And
it wasn't.
Right.
And if you don't produce, that's cost you jobs. I mean, I get all that.
But that's what it looks like because it wasn't the improvement perhaps they wanted. And maybe, like you've pointed out, with a rebuilding effort up front, you want to start that off on the right foot.
Yeah.
And you never know how the recruiting plays out at this time as well. It's all interesting. It's changed. And 6-6 isn't good enough. 6-7 is not good enough, and that's fine with me.
Welcome to the family, Tom Allen, and good luck. We'll see you in the spring.
That's exactly right.
When we get back, NFL football, we're down to our final four teams. We'll talk about the weekend in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone.
Hello,
All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got a doubleheader of high school basketball this weekend. Friday night, it is the big area rivalry with Martinsville coming to town, 9-3, to face number 19 South. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and tip-off, 7:30. And then on Saturday, Terre Haute South comes to town to face North. That is also 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 for the tip-off there. So Friday and Saturday, high school basketball here on WGCL.
A little three-gamer in 24 hours for Smitty there.
Yeah.
He'll need to take his
the
vitamin.
The noon game on Saturday, Northwestern in the Assembly
Hall.
Get that
pint of coffee, pot of coffee, rolling. Exciting times there, some good ones. Each home and home, and then obviously we'll get into the NFL playoffs come up on Sunday, mm-hmm. a big day. And, Dave, for the first time since 2004, one versus two. All the chalk has made it. No home teams won last weekend, but just yesterday, all four of them won.
Yep.
So from one extreme to another.
And some exciting games. Freaky game in Carolina where it was 31-0 in the first half and 24-0 in the second half, the other team. But otherwise, some entertaining games. Kansas City made it closer maybe than it really was. But a crazy ending to the Green Bay-Arizona game and a bit of a crazy second half for Pittsburgh and Denver. But, you know, Arizona, there's been a lot of talk about Arizona. Arizona did not, at the end of the day, blow your doors off as far as how they looked. Carolina certainly did for one half, but each showing a little bit of flaws. But it seemed the theme of the games to me were all of the pass rush seemed to be completely eliminated by a bunch of underneath crossing routes, and everybody did it well, and everybody took some of the best players on the field out of the game by simply getting rid of the ball as quickly as possible.
Well, yeah, then you don't have to worry about pass rushing. You don't have to worry about the balls down the field can lead to what? Bad things. And here's what you know. The teams with the really, really good quarterbacks are the ones that keep on winning. Yep. You don't talk about New England's ball control offense and Denver running it between the tackles and even Pittsburgh to a degree. Their running backs I'd never heard of before.
Yeah.
What planet are they on? And they're in the divisional round. They paid their price against Cincinnati in that very brutal game. But Ben Roethlisberger throws for 330 whatever yards it is because they can't run the ball. So mm-hmm. you have to have a quarterback in this league. And, Dave, it's not the West Coast offense, but it's very similar. And football fans know what we're talking about. Sometimes a swing pass that gets you 4 yards is just as good as running
Absolutely.
Up the middle. It doesn't matter. It's about getting down the field. It's about scoring. It's about not turning the ball over. And the teams that did that on the weekend, for the most part, were completely successful. And, mm-hmm. and that's what separates the good teams. And look at Kansas City even to a degree. Who'd they lose 11 weeks ago? Their best running back, Jamaal Charles, right. and they rattled off 11 wins. Why? Because Alex Smith doesn't turn the football over, and yep. they don't lose very often.
Yep.
And that's why. So you can kind of see what's going on here. And Green Bay had no wide receivers to throw the ball to. That was one of their problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, when you look back at it, the best teams, I think, won. I don't think there was any head-scratching result. You knew Pittsburgh was dead walking in the door there.
Ones and twos this year. I mean, the only real question mark going into this weekend was Seattle the better team on a streak right now, given all their experience, but
yes.
in reality, I mean, Carolina is the healthier team, and certainly with the home game, certainly
and just the opposite with New England and Kansas City. But it's Tom Brady.
Right.
You only
That's
need
right.
one guy healthy on the Patriots, and it's 12.
Yeah,
they've shown over the last 15 years they can take guys off the street, take them from wide receiver, make them cornerback, bring in guys yeah. to run the ball,
Let
play wide
ball.
Receiver. Play corner in the Super Bowl and make the biggest plays of their life.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 12 in Belichick, you've got some. But Kansas City came in that really good defense, as you told
yeah,
me last
absolutely.
Wednesday. Great pass rush, great this.
Absolutely.
Boom, it's down the field in 7 plays, 7-0 Gronk. See you later, game's
yep.
over. Just like that. Why? Because they're the better football team. So the Green Bay-Arizona game was, well, that's the NFL and summed up for you. Aaron Rodgers has 2 Hail Mary passes this year. There have been like 3 of those in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And that's just – That's oh, the great
see
theater.
What he was doing on this one.
We couldn't
just
care. We
just literally
got out
just
of time.
Chucked
you got,
it and,
you got
and
throw it
fell
hit.
Down and got
yeah.
out of the way.
What was that, the first one, 60 yards down the field, or the second one when he threw it into the end zone? But great play from Larry Fitzgerald. Great play from Carson Palmer. You've seen Carson Palmer in that spot more than once make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
He throws it back across his body. He trusts that Larry Fitzgerald is going to be wide open when
well,
the ball
Well, by
arrives.
Then everybody was so far away, but it was. I mean,
and
it,
nobody
it
was great, illegally downfield.
Great job for him to buy that kind of time.
Yes, and make the right decision.
And by the way, the touchdown call, the shovel pass. Oh my God, what a great call!
But what
unbelievable!
But when Larry Fitzgerald
nobody throws a shovel past your wide receiver.
Right. What's he doing in the backfield?
Fantastic!
It is, and when it works, it looks even better, doesn't it?
Well, of course.
There you go. So the interesting game of the weekend, from the totality standpoint, for me, was Carolina up 31-0, and then it's an onside kick to save their bacon with a couple seconds left. You got to kick a field goal a little bit earlier, Pete. You got to get three on the board, and then not miss a 55-yarder. You got that. Pete always makes some interesting decisions, and when it's right, it goes really well for Seattle. But when it goes bad,
well, getting down 31-0 didn't help.
It didn't, and that was Russell Wilson.
They went,
and that's
interesting
because that's a big time.
It is. They got punched in the mouth first of all, and then the guy who usually doesn't make the mistakes made the mistakes.
Right, and you can't make the mistakes in the shadow of your own goal line, and you can't throw it anywhere near where Luke Kuechly's running around.
Yeah,
that's his fifth pick, his second for a touchdown this year. You can't.
What have I told
that's
you?
That's it. You can't do that.
Two of the best players left in the playoffs this weekend, and continuing, are the two linebackers for Carolina. Those guys are phenomenal.
And then the one on special teams, Thomas Davis, makes the play.
Yeah. Those two guys are great.
And, again, wonderful theater, wonderful drama, and that's what you wanted. Even the blowout game wasn't a blowout. The only game that you just never thought would be anything was Kansas City-New England, just the way New England was methodical going down the field. And Kansas City just doesn't have enough firepower, and when Macklin can't run, they couldn't beat anybody off the line of scrimmage. You saw all those balls and didn't get anywhere.
Yeah, dropping passes. I mean, they didn't have anybody. I mean, Alex Smith did about everything you could ask of him.
You can only do so much misdirection against New England before.
And if Kansas City's defensive line, if their defensive front isn't going to have a bigger effect on the game, then they're not going to be in it.
One, two, throw it. And away they go. So it's New England. They will travel to Denver. Tom Brady's going to play Peyton Manning. I wonder if those they ever played before?
They have tape on that probably somewhere in the
archives. Do you think we'll hear anything about that for the rest of the week, the next 6 days?
And then Arizona goes to Carolina. entertaining games. I mean, again, as you said, I mean, it's you could maybe argue a couple other AFC teams, but really these are the four best teams.
I don't know. Even in the AFC, a healthy Bengals, maybe, but that's not – you know what? New England's not healthy.
No.
And – Arizona has parts that aren't healthy, and everybody's got nicks and bumps and bruises at this time of year, and you just have to get through it. Three of the four quarterbacks on the weekend, Dave, all number one draft picks, except the guy drafted 199th. He's the one with the most rings
and he's
the most
got the rings. Exactly right.
Funny how that works out. And all three Heisman Trophy winners, or two Heisman Trophy winners, because Charles Woodson baited out Peyton Manning.
Yes, he did.
That's still like
a nice career.
It's like nice career. Anthony Thompson losing to
Don't give that. Don't go there.
Andre Ware.
Illinois center, did you want to touch on that?
Oh, yeah. I screwed that up for those of you who missed that earlier.
Thorne, the big fat guy.
He's
fat
out.
270-pound guy. He's
Finke
the guy.
Is the guy. He's freshman. A freshman. Thomas Brown will have a fair fight with him. Yeah, that's better. So way that's better.
Good. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock. So tune in then, and we will talk to you then. You've been in the zone.